a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Yeah, you can reference it. Good morning, everyone. This morning, the Joint Appropriations Committee is meeting to hear our FY14 recap. The information is under FY14 recap on your OneNote system, top left, three down. Once again, remind your cell phones, please turn them off. I'm not sure we're going to have testifiers today, probably not. Please address your questions through the chair. And Pages, if you want to come forward and tell us all about yourselves, where you're from, where you're going to school, your dreams, aspirations, any microphone will work.
All right, I'm Carly Appletoft. I'm from Aberdeen, and I go to Aberdeen Christian School, and next year I'll be going to SDSU to get a degree in nursing.
Oh, disappointed.
I'm Alexander Mattern. I'm from Aberdeen, Roncalli, and next year I'll be going to the University of South Dakota. To get a degree in public relations.
Thank you. You two should get along well, being Senator Nostra.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very appropriate. Today is Aberdeen Day in the legislature. We've got a bus coming down. We've got two pages that are from Aberdeen. And the Senate is going to open up with a prayer from an Aberdeen minister and open up with a pledge from an Aberdeen minister. So appreciate all the support for Aberdeen today. Thank you.
I was going to alert law enforcement for any devious behavior. Secretary, call the roll.
Sutton.
Here.
Jones.
Here.
Wismer.
Here.
Hawley.
Here.
Norstrup.
Here.
Heineman. White.
Here.
Van Gerpen. Adelstein, Dryden, Boland,
here.
Mickelson, Werner,
here.
Hager,
here.
Tiedemann, Carson,
here.
Peters, Romkema.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. I believe we have all the incidentals completed, Mr. Fred, or excuse me, Senator White has some minutes.
Mr. Chairman,
He's a speed reader.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I have February 15th minutes here that covered the auditor, treasurer, school and public lands, legislature and legislature audit. Senator Sutton was excused. Mr. Van Gerpen was excused. It was moved by Mr. Representative Carson that we closed the meeting, and Representative Dryden seconded it. So I found all of these minutes in order. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Carson.
What did the treasurer have to say?
Treasurer says it had balanced.
Thank you.
Second. Senator, okay. All in favor of accepting said minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Minutes have been accepted.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Sutton.
I also have some minutes to move from February 4th, 2013. Department of Labor, Secretary of State was also in there, if any of you remember that. That was a fun day.
Oh, very vividly.
I would move those minutes at this time.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor of accepting said minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Minutes have been accepted. Representative Hawley has some minutes.
Minutes from February 5th when we had the Department of Social Services. And in 4 hours, we were able to spend $1 billion.
It must have took you a long time to read all those. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor of accepting said minutes, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Minutes have been accepted. Any further? Senator Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that we accept the minutes as presented to me for January 30th. And I would like to note that Representative Carson asked how many instructors the school had to Mr. Van Wald. And also, It was his second to adjourn, so I think everything is in good shape and well-ordered, and no questions, please.
Looks like you read them very thoroughly. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor of accepting said minutes, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Minutes have been accepted. Any further minutes? Just for a... For the committee, we need to adjourn at 11 o'clock today, so, and I'm told we have about an hour to an hour and a half, so no more than an hour questions. So let's proceed, Mr. Fred.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For purposes of the record, my name is Fred Schoenfeld. I'm the Chief Fiscal Analyst for the LRC. I have with me today the other fiscal analysts from the LRC, Annie Mielhoff, Sue Chickas, Aaron Olson, and Denise Hewlett. As I've said before, to my view, there are basically three different phases in the appropriations process. You collect information, then you analyze the information, and then finally you make a decision. I think the collection phase is basically finished with the completion of the agency hearings yesterday. I know that the analysis process is already underway individually with the members and in the caucuses as well. Today, what we want to do is give you a couple of additional tools we hope will help with this analytic process. If they're useful, use them. If they're not, ignore them and continue with whatever it is that works well for you. These tools are, number one, the 2013-14 Sources and Uses Scorecard, and the other one is the FY14 General Bill or G-Bill Summary. In addition, we want to start fleshing out the forward schedule by having Sue talk a little bit about the procedures for drafting amendments to the general bill and how the packet, the amendment packet for amendment day is prepared. Aaron is working on the revenue estimate, so he gets a bye today. You'll see him in action extensively next week. As we did last year, what we plan to do is explain the features of each of these items today. If you have any specific questions, we can deal with them now or on a one-on-one basis later. We have posted these to your OneNote. We will distribute hard copies. Sometimes for this kind of a discussion, it's easier to work with a hard copy than it is with the electronic. We have not posted either of the two items to the internet yet. We thought it was a good idea to wait until you all had seen them and we discussed them. If there's a mistake or a problem, that's going to be the first thing that you're going to see and point out. That's just the way of the world. And I'd much rather, if there are adjustments that need to be made, I'd much rather get them done before we spread this on the internet, because once that happens, we'll never get them back. Talking about the sources and uses scorecard, Annie has led this effort for the last several years. I think the continuing members will remember what it is. This is our version of the BFM's bleeders and spenders list that sometimes we get to see and sometimes we don't. Basically, it tracks the current revenue estimates, the G-bill in its current form, and then all of the spending and revenue-generating bills which remain in play at particular points in time. Once this committee adopts its revenue estimates, those estimates will be substituted for the governor's budget estimate currently in this document. And before the end of the session, we reconcile this list to the penny with BFM to make sure that absolutely everything is accounted before you take final action. So with that, Annie, why don't you go ahead and distribute your hard copies and walk through. Could we have some pages?
The sources and uses scorecard, I won't get into the details until they're all the way around the table, but it is simply, it is simply the sources and uses of revenue for the two fiscal years that you're dealing with. You're dealing with the current year, which is FY13, and then the next fiscal year, which is FY14. Does everybody have a copy, hard copy? Okay. Here you go. So the first page of the report is just a summary of the following pages. So every line on the first page is made up of numerous numbers that follow. So if I could just run through the line by line, and then if you have questions, then the answers are probably on a following page. So for FY13, the current year, the governor's revised revenue estimate is $1.3 million, and that is in the governor's budget book. Currently, there are no pending bills that we know of that have a known effect on the revenues for the current year. So that would be on page 4, are the details for that. The uses, the first three lines of the uses in FY13 are all items that you approved last year. So the FY12 special appropriations, you transferred to the budget reserve, the 47.8, and you made a transfer from the general fund to the teen court program of $150,000. Those things have already been done. Now, the fourth line, the FY13 general bill with proposed amendments, that's the general bill that you approved last year with the effects of House Bill 1060. And I've got 1060 listed with on a following page. The next line is the continuously appropriated expenses. There are two of those. The next line is governor's proposed bills. So all of the governor's proposals that have an emergency clause on them, those spenders equal $14.8 million. And then the other pending bills are those that you folks have proposed. And right now there are $2 appropriated in those. So the net effect of everything, and I should say that this is the first draft of this. There are many bills that we aren't sure what the effects are, and this is a draft. If you know of something I've missed, please tell me, and I'll get it added. So the estimated 13 general fund unobligated estimated, I stress here, is listed there, 18.6. And of that amount, it is, I've got it labeled available for appropriation, roll forward, or reversion. Appropriation is, of course, your spending bills. Roll forward is where you use this, I've referred to it before as moldy money. You would use this moldy money to fund something in FY14, and that's a roll forward. Or you can revert it to the budget reserve fund. Now, on section, the FY 2014 section, same format, governor's estimated revenue, and we'll update that as you folks approve your estimate. The pending bills affecting that revenue are listed on page 4 at $3.3 million, impact to that revenue, negative impact. And now in the uses category, you've got the G bill as proposed. That will get updated with your amendments on amendment day. At the back of that G bill are two transfers from the general fund. They aren't appropriations, but they're transfers, so they're listed separately. $1 million and $2 million there. The continuously appropriated expenses, and then the governor's proposed bills on page 2. They're listed on page 2, yes.
So on this first page?
Yes, down towards the bottom, the uses for FY14. And then the other pending bills, there are 10 bills appropriating a dollar. So, but now, on the next page 2 is a listing of the governor's proposals. List of all the bills. If it has an emergency clause on it, it's going to be listed in the FY13 current columns. If it doesn't have an emergency clause, it will be over on the right-hand side in the FY14. Oh, and then also the leftmost columns tell you where the bill is currently, if it's been approved by the House or the Senate. And this was last updated late yesterday afternoon, so I might not have reflected all the action from last night. But so the governor's proposals on page 2. Page 3 are the two general bills. Your FY13 current general bill, that's where all your 1060 amendments are. And then at the bottom is your FY14 General Appropriations Act. And as you amend that bill, then those will be listed. Those will be rolled into that number.
Question. We have a question.
Representative Mickelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sue? 13, front page, continuously appropriated, 2.4 general, 9.7 total. That number looks suspiciously like the maintenance and reserve fund amount. It's in both years.
Where are you at now? I'm sorry.
Front page, fiscal 13, 2.4 general, 9.7 total.
That's continuous. Can I jump in?
Oh, there's Ian is talking. I'm sorry. Okay.
The continuously appropriated expenses are a BOA special assessment of $80,000. I don't think it ties to that.
It's the same. Oh, it's remarkably similar both years.
And then a fire premium refund. That's made up of two numbers. And I can get you a list of all the...
That's new, I assume.
No. Every year, or since these have been on the books, there's statutorily annual appropriations.
These were not in the governor's budget book.
Yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm. They are. All right.
The M&R for BOA, the $2.8 million, is in House Bill 1185, the general bill. So that isn't part of the...
For 14.
For 14.
There is no 13 for that, is there? The only reason I asked that question, Mr. Chair, last night when I went home, I thought we had $21 million in fiscal 13 general money. And now we don't. And I think it's due to that $2.4 million, but I'm not sure.
That is listed in the governor's proposed FY13.
Okay. We had $16.4 million
in the book, in the budget book, right? We whacked the $5 million out of the ready fund, the rest of the stuff offset. I was expecting it to be $21 million, so my question is, what else changed?
The heritage projects in 1060.
Yeah, we had 16.4. We've done nothing but take away, and we got less than what I would have expected. So my question is just why?
I need one. Okay, I did not get that from last night.
Representative Hawley, if you could get on the mic so we can hear you. Thank you.
And just the question was, what did we cut out? We cut out of the heritage projects $1.5 million in committee, and then last night on the floor, which is not reflected here, we took out $2.5 million, and then in committee we had taken that $5 million out of the future fund reimbursement. So that is reflected here, I saw. But I guess I agree with Representative Mickelson. I thought it was the higher number, just from the numbers we were penciling out.
Well,
that would be to the bottom line of it.
All right. I will work to – I will maybe work with you two to answer your questions.
And it might – I can just add, it might mm-hmm. just be the action that happened last
exactly.
night that's not reflected
that is not
yet.
Reflected.
So as soon as she updates it, reflecting everything that happened yesterday.
Well, one thing is that this will remain posted now on your OneNote, and it'll be periodically updated. So I don't know when you're planning on doing the next cycle, Annie, but it, as we get close in on the end, it'll be at least weekly. There'll be an update. So this is a moving target. I agree we ought to get this reconciled, but I suspect that the issue is probably last minute adjustments that we just didn't get in last night.
And that reminds me that when you see one of these scorecards, because there's by the end of session there are many, many versions, be sure you look at the LRC report run date at the top. That's always got the date that it's current. So.
That's 14.
That's 14 when it says really the 2.4 million.
Okay.
4 million from the futures fund. With,
yeah. 5 million.
Or 5, excuse me.
Yep. I'll look into it.
Okay. We may need to formalize this just a little bit, so let's run the chair. Questions up here. I'll be here till who knows when. And proceed.
Okay. Page 3 were the two general bills. Page 4 are the other proposals that you all have put forth. And the top section of page 4 are direct appropriations against our cash. The bottom section are revenue and expense impactors. They might not be an appropriation, but they're going to impact the general bill in some way or other expenses of state government. For example, any education formula bills would be listed below. They don't have an appropriation in them, but they're going to require some adjustment to the general bill because of that act. And that's all I have. I just wanted to give you an outline on what is in the report, and when I update it, it will update on your OneNote in this same FY14 recap section. So, and if you have any questions, even after our meeting today, please come and please see me. I want to make this as accurate as possible.
Senator Rattlestein.
I'm trying to understand page 3, going back to what Representative Mickelson said. I don't understand that I see economic development, that $5 million. I don't understand the three columns, general. Is the other, said $5 million, I thought was taken out. That's my amendment.
Mr. Chair, the economic development obligations was originally in the governor's 1060.
Yes.
As a draw on general, because they were going to do a transfer from the general fund into the future fund. And then also a draw from the future fund. So it was a negative general and a negative other. Well, in committee, the draw on the general fund was stricken. So now all that's left is the draw, is the other fund authority of $5
million. Where will that come from then? My amendment should have covered both.
Well, they can still spend future fund cash if they choose.
If we don't replenish, yeah, and they've got plenty of money there to do it with, in my mind. Okay, thank you.
Representative Warner.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Where am I... yesterday we had a subcommittee recommendation, and it was approved for the wellness piece. Where's that at?
I need to add that.
Okay.
That will probably be listed. I'm not sure where yet, because it hasn't been a formal action anywhere. But I'll get it on here. Yep.
Okay, proceed.
Okay, well, I guess it. With that, we move on then to the next piece, which is the FY14 general bill summary. This is the latest effort to draw together the different elements of the FY14 general bill, and to do it in a way that permits you to see the whole tree, rather than just the branches and the individual leaves. This represents a team effort which involved all of the fiscal staff. Denise led the summary effort. She's done a good job. I think the best way to give you a sense of what you have here is to have Denise walk through one of the different parts of one of the agencies. And then she can help you understand how the details for each of the budget units are brought forward into the summary sheet. This analysis sheet ties to the individual agency analyses we presented for all of the budget units. It also ties to the governor's budget book. So after she's gone through her explanation, we're available for any questions you have regarding it. So, Denise, why don't you go ahead and...
All right. On page 1 and 2 of the general bill summary, that is all of the agencies that have been brought in, and we'll come back to that once I go through one of the agencies as an example of what we've done. If you turn to page 10 and 11... which is the Department of Corrections in your document. That is the agency that we're going to go through first. On your OneNote, if you could click on your budget briefing for the Department of Corrections and go to page 2, you'll see that I've listed the FY13 budget amounts for general, federal, and other. That comes directly from the Department of Corrections budget briefing under the $82.5 million, $11.6 million, and $8.2 million in general, federal, and other. So I've listed that at the top of page 10 with the 856.7 FTE, which was for FY13. Then what I did, again, from the corrections budget brief, if you go to page 4, that's where I've got all the major expansions and reductions. And so what I did is I broke out all of the negative amounts and listed those under cuts on page 10. And then on page 11 is where I have listed all of the adds amounts. So we've got all of our major expansions and reductions listed. And then that tied out on the bottom, it's got the governor's recommended FY14 budget figures of $84.7 million, $10.8 million for federal, and $8.2 million for other. And those are the same amounts that are listed on page 2 of my budget briefing under the governor's recommended FY14, which totals $103 million. And then there is also a percent change from FY13 if you look at the top of page 10. So for general, that's 0.3%. And what that is I just took the total cuts under general, which is $279,000, and you divide that by $82.5 million, which is the FY13 general fund budget. And so that is for all the general, federal, other, and total for the cuts. And then you do the same with the adds on page 11. 2.5 million is the total adds for the general fund, and then divide that by the 82.5 million for the FY13 budget. And then the same with all those net amounts. So that's how all of those percent amounts are calculated. So I've got that for all of the agencies. And then if you go to page 1 and 2, which is a roll-up of all of the agencies, I've listed the FY13 budget. If you have your actual budget book, page 23 is where I got those numbers. It's the total state government budget, including information budgets. So that's the $1.2 billion, $1.7 billion, and $1 billion in other funds. And then all the total amounts for all the agencies rolled up into the cuts section. And then on page 2 is all of the adds for all of the agencies that rolled up in there. And so at the bottom of page 2, our numbers tie out to what's listed for the governor's recommended FY14 budget, which is $1.3 billion in general funds, $1.6 billion in federal funds, and $1 billion in other funds for a total of 13,810 FTE. So that is my explanation of that. Does anyone have any questions on how this was put together?
So the budget is $4,088,070,000.
Yes, that is the total budget for FY14.
Okay, if there are no questions then, we'll go ahead and move right along. Sue, why don't you spend a few minutes and let's talk a little bit about how amendments for the G-Bill get done and put into a nice, neat packet for Amendment Day.
Sure, good morning. Well, just, and I think we've told you this, but you can come to
any one of us on the fiscal staff at any time to draft amendments now for House Bill 1185, which is the general appropriations bill for FY14. Obviously, the sooner the better. If some amendments are more complex than others, obviously the simple ones don't take long. If a lot of research is involved, you know, the more time we have, the better, the more adequate we can research it for you. So just feel free to start coming to us anytime now that we have the bill. 1185, like I said, is the bill that we're going to be working on towards the end of session here, the remaining days. We'll draft the amendment for you and give you a copy back. You'll note on the amendments that it'll include a short description at the bottom, and it will also show your name in parentheses on the amendment. Staff will then ask you if it goes in the packet. And for members that have been here before, that slang word, I guess, that we use is familiar with you. I don't know that the newer members, but I brought along a copy of last year's packet. The packet is a cover sheet that I do of just a real brief summary roll-up of all the amendments, and then a copy of each amendment is attached. Currently, what we have right now is a deadline for all the amendments to be submitted into LRC of Thursday, February 28th. That's the end of next week's legislative week, because Friday isn't a legislative day. So that's kind of the deadline we're working towards at this point. Anyway, then before Monday, the amendments will be completed and the packet will be assembled. This document is then distributed to the leaders in both parties. Once all the members of the committee have it, just as a revenue-enhancing opportunity, we could probably sell copies to the agencies and the lobbyists at that point, but that'll be totally up to you. No, I'm just kidding, obviously. We've been told then that this is what's used as a basis for the discussions in the caucuses when you're talking about House Bill 1185 and the way forward on that. As we get closer to actually having the hearing on the general bill, this packet is also what the committee will work from when, as I said, when we're having the hearing. It begins with going through all the amendments. They're numbered, they're labeled, they're, you know, tied to the summary page, so we can have some semblance of order anyway when we're going through that bill. And once all of these amendments in the packet have been considered, acted on, then any other amendments that were not distributed in the packet have generally been considered by the Joint Committee. And what I mean by that is, if you backtrack to when I said staff will ask you if it goes in the packet, there could be amendments that members, for whatever reason, don't want it distributed in advance. And then that would be the time when, like I said, typically the chair would ask for any other amendments that someone wants to bring forward. So that's a real quick summary of kind of what the process is going to be like here for the next.
Representative Carson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On your cover sheet, who determines how that is listed on the cover sheet?
It's listed in the order of the general bill. Right now we go, you know, if it's, for instance, all the amendments that amend line 1, page 1 are first, and then any amendments that amend page 1, line 2. So right now it's just put together in the order of the general bill.
Thank you.
Senator Adelstein.
I loved your disclaimer, a semblance of order. That was fun. Now, when we come back, can it be specific issues that have arisen? I'll give you an example. One that I'm interested in is I have an amendment to remove this state employment agency of $4.5 million. Now, can we come in with that specific of a specific program?
Yep, I would just encourage any ideas you have to talk one-on-one with, you know, the best staffer would be the staffer of that agency, but any one of us will certainly try to help you. So, you know, those specific requests are, you know, best if you just come to us and discuss them with you, and you'll, we'll work through.
You work into specific programs
yep.
that we've heard. Okay,
yep.
thank you.
Senator Heidemann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question. Any amendment then to the general bill is ongoing. Is that the case versus one-time money? When you amend the general bill, I know we had some discussion of that last year. When you amend the general bill, is it ongoing expenditure, or is it a, if it's going to be one time, does it have to be under special?
you know, I guess in the the title of the Act of 1185 is for to appropriate money for the ordinary expenses of the legislative, judicial, executive departments of the state and the expenses of state institutions, interest on public debt, and for common schools. So this is a one-year appropriation for the ordinary expenses of state government for FY14. Generally, special appropriations, the intent for specials is for the one time to be in a special.
You know, for years, I guess, it's been customary to append various items to the general bill, which have the appearance of, you know, being one-time transfers. So there's actually no clear delineation. I think this was raised in debate in the House yesterday, and the presiding officer ruled that those other items were within the purview of the general bill. It's a sticky issue, and I'm sorry I can't give you a clear-cut answer, but if you look at the general bill the way it's been crafted for years, there are those one-time items, and candidly it relates to the voting requirements. In some instances, it's easier to pass the general bill with a simple majority than a two-thirds. If there's nothing else there, Annie says she has tied the numbers on the sources and uses, so she's prepared to opine.
If you started with the governor's budget as the base, there were some differences in his what he proposed and what is currently moving through session. The things that there were just two bills that affected the 13 number, and the pine beetle suppression bill for $2 million was proposed to come out of 14 money, and now that's coming out of 13 money. They put an emergency clause on that somewhere along the process, and then also the refunds for elderly disabled persons. That was originally going to $500,000 to come out of 14 money, and now it's going to be $450,000 coming out of 13 money. So I think that ties now to the $18 million.
Representative Mickelson.
Yes, it does. I agree. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, then the next question is, you'd expect $2.4 million more to show up on fiscal 14, and it doesn't. And for the House members, the reason is the Senate passed some bills that spent some money on page 4 and 5, and that's the difference. And that's where that money went. And so that's the new – I was looking for what was new, and that's what's new to the House side of this anyway. Thank you.
Representative Warner.
Thank you. So you've got some additional changes to make that we talked about this morning. when will this be updated on the system? I know at one time the discussion was weekly, but at this point, it's probably pertinent that it be daily.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we were just discussing that, and I think we had thought that we should make those adjustments before it's released to the public and posted generally to the Internet. So we'll do that, what, the next day or two, there today, and then it'll be posted. When that happens, you'll see it on your notifications page on your OneNote, and then the date will change, and then at that point that particular version of the document will be in the public domain on the HTML version.
Representative Mickelson.
An example, yesterday a joint approach heard a report from the Special Health Insurance Committee recommending that we proceed with everything but the wellness initiative. There's dollars attached to that if we don't. Who's keeping the sheet of all the stuff we're looking at and what that adds up to that's not in this because we haven't acted on it? Or would you keep a sheet like that? And not to be published, but for members of the committee and leadership and stuff.
Annie keeps the sheet, right?
Annie keeps the sheet. I mean, if Annie is our scorekeeper, and there is no other sheet.
But, you know, if you ask me to put things like that on here, that is in the public domain. So it hasn't been officially acted upon, so... I think that Fred and I are going to have to discuss how. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, this has no standing beyond. It's just our ongoing tote, and we want to. It gives you some idea of. The available funds. It also gives us all some assurance that we haven't forgotten anything, and a basis to have a conversation with BFM. Recently, they're in a very cooperative mood. We have a good relationship. That isn't always the case. In some years past, there's an adversarial relationship between the second and third floors, and a document like this is very useful in terms of making sure that we just don't make a mistake.
Senator Rattlestein.
Two really unrelated questions. The first one is, when and if there's a change in policy on the extension of Medicaid, where will that go and who will it come through?
What we heard in discussions about expanding Medicaid is because Medicaid is a state plan, it's not in statute, it's a contract with the federal government, the funding for that goes in, as an amendment to the general bill.
And the second question, in your late evening entertainment last night in the House, did you make any changes in 1060, and when will it come to the Senate?
No changes 1060 last night.
Well,
yes. There were four amendments to 1060, yes. Or actually five with the shell domain. Yesterday, but not last night. 1184 was one perhaps you're referring to, Senator.
Both of those bills were passed by the House and will move over to the Senate now into committee. Once they're assigned to a committee, probably today they'll get assigned. So it's just heading to the Senate now, both of those.
President Warner.
So I'm trying to get my arms around this wellness piece, because there was $3 million in general and $5.1 million in federal and other. Will that $5.1 have an effect on these departments? I've never really gotten a total clear answer to that, where that's at.
No, because it's all in the pool.
Yeah, but it's a recommendation. But I'm just trying to figure out what the end result would be if we went there.
The question, I believe, was the subcommittee made a recommendation relative to the health. And does that bear into this?
Remember that they put all of the salary policy into a pool. So that would affect that pool, but not each individual agency. It would affect the distribution from the pool, but it won't affect each individual agency.
So is that pool?
The pool is budgeted in BFM, yeah. So it would affect that one agency.
That's where the 5.1 would be affected?
Well, all the salary policy is in there. So it would be the general part, the federal part, and the other part.
They had $55 million. In the BFM appropriation.
Right. Because it looks like there's about $12 million of federal, $20 million of general, and $23 million of other in there to make the $55
million. Mm-hmm. On page 20 of the governor's budget book, he's got the across-the-board increase, which is $26 million total. Adjustment to job worth, which is $8.8 million. Health insurance increase, which included in there is the wellness piece, and that is $20 million. So a total of $55.5 is all included in one pool in BFM. So that line item in the general bill would need to be amended.
By how much?
Each one of those part, the 3.1 general, 5 for the total of the other two. I can't remember those two numbers, but general, federal, and other. $1.7 and $3.4. $1.7 federal and $3.4 other.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think that's all we have, unless there's other questions. As I said, these items are a tool, and if you have questions, we're more than happy to work through them on a one-on-one basis. So.
Appreciate your giving this a synopsis. Does everyone have their questions answered? Okay, hearing no questions, Chair, entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor of said motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. We're adjourned.
And then, Mr. Chairman, or for the good of the committee, I must...